Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. I'm coming to you from Kenya today. We've had rain just about every day besides the coronavirus, which really isn't much of an issue out here in West Kenya. We have been dealing with floods even here in Mumias. We have a big river called the Nzoia River that goes through town, and it's flooding. There are people being evacuated from their houses. Some of them mud houses will not survive the flooding, and so there's a lot of pressure on people. People are running out of food. The police are a constant headache, a constant harassment here, and so people have a lot to fear here. They are in a state of fear, you might say, just as many people are in America. And we have a curfew at 7 p.m. every night, and so everybody is fleeing to their home at 6:30 at night, and that's very unusual for Kenyans. They like to be out. They like to be going clear till way past dark, and so this is a very unusual situation for us here in Kenya as well. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I believe that the coronavirus has been broken. I believe it has been crushed. Yes, there's going to be still some consequences. There's going to be some ramifications in terms of opening up businesses, but also many of the government officials who are in charge of putting out the regulations are full of fear, and so they're putting out more lockdown situations, more lockdown regulations that are going to cause a lot of angst for people, going to cause a lot of rebellion. And so this message is going to speak to a lot of people, and I want to encourage you with this message just to take heart, trust in the Lord. I know people are going through great tribulation. There's many that are going to have economic collapse. Businesses are going to fail. It's going to take time for getting businesses back up and running, and people's jobs are in jeopardy, many of them. We thank God in America we have great social net, you might say, to keep people from collapsing totally, food stamps and government-issued assistance. We have none of that here in Kenya. There is no government assistance. People are just on their own, and it's especially precarious here in Kenya because we're in a lockdown-type situation, and people don't have the ability to work and make money in some cities. There's no passage out of the city or into the city. Even Nairobi, a city of 5 million people, all the roads going in and out are blocked. And so people are in a precarious situation as far as making a living and buying food. 50% or more of the people in Kenya live hand-to-mouth day to day. The money that they make each day is what they use to buy food that night or the next day. And so it's a very precarious and tenuous situation for them. But again, beloved, God has provided a light at the end of the tunnel. This is going to break. Many people are going to come to know the Lord through this time. Many people are going to establish a relationship and a conversation with the Lord God at this time. God is stripping us of all our idols, even those of us in the church. He's stripping us of all our idols. We can't even go to church and admire the worship team or look at all the nice dresses on the lady or the way the men are behaving or dressed or whatever. There's no gawking. There's no idolatry. You're going to be one-on-one with the Lord, and I believe that this is a time of intense prayer. I believe that this is a time of intense teaching. People are going to be looking at internet services and worship times and prayer times on Facebook and on the internet. So God is using this time in a way to bring glory and honor to Him. God can even use death to bring glory and honor to Him. God can use sickness. God can use calamity. God can use all kinds of situations. God causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And so even things that we despise in the natural, even things that we don't think are good at all, how can any good come from this coronavirus situation? God doesn't see it that way. Every situation can bring glory and honor to Him. And so because of that, God is going to get glory and honor from this situation. And this is going to be a time of unprecedented harvest. This is going to be a time of unprecedented revival in America and all over the world. And this is going to usher in one of the greatest revivals and times of unprecedented harvest that we have ever seen. It could be called a great awakening in a way, because God has shaken the whole world in a way that it has not been shaken maybe since 1918, when the Spanish flu gripped the whole world. Maybe ever, I don't know, because there's 200 countries now involved with this coronavirus. So looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, this is one of the great stories in the Bible. It's a story of King Jehoshaphat, who was a king in Judah and Jerusalem, and a great multitude had surrounded Jerusalem. A great multitude had come up against God's people, and Jehoshaphat is in great fear as he realized that he was outnumbered. There was no chance that he could see of defeating the enemy on the battlefield. They were just too great in number. The enemy was too overwhelming in number. And so if we look at chapter 20, verse 3, we'll start here. And I'm just going to take this verse by verse. I hope you spend some time in this whole chapter. I'm not going to read every verse in the chapter. I hope you spend some time in this chapter and just study it. And let it encourage you, let it sink into your spirit and encourage you, and let you know how God works, let you know how great and awesome our God is, and a strategy that you can use when you feel overwhelmed by the enemy. Well, verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Well, that's a teaching point for us right there to start off with. Jehoshaphat feared. Beloved, there are times in your life, and you know it and I know it, there are times when we are all going to be overcome with fear. The devil tries to use situations to make us fearful and question God and shake our fist at God. God, where are you? Why don't you just eliminate this virus right now, right this very minute? Why don't you just release all the ramifications and the tribulation and make my business soar today? God doesn't operate that way. He uses situations on the earth to humble us. And so that is what is happening with Jehoshaphat. He is being humbled. And so he set himself to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast. That is a very good teaching for us. Right there, it's very good to pray, but it's even better to pray and fast. And if you've never fasted before, I urge you to do that. I did a 40-day fast at the beginning of this year, not to boast, but I'm just telling you, I usually fast every single year at the start of the year. And then I also fast sometimes as the Lord prompts me during the year. And so it's very good to learn to fast. Fasting, you're not trying to twist God's arm. You're not manipulating Him. You're just humbling yourself before Him. And you're showing Him with your fast that you are humbled, that you are broken before Him, that you trust God to provide everything that you need. And you're setting aside the most important thing, or something that is extremely important to you. And that is your eating food or drink or whatever it is you fast from, because everybody likes to eat. It's a common thing for people everywhere. Three times a day, usually we like to eat. And so we do that not just out of, we have to have something to go to work or to give ourselves energy so we can go to work, but also we do it out of habit. Sometimes we eat when we're not hungry. Sometimes we eat when the clock tells us it's 12 o'clock noon. And so we eat. And so when you set that aside, your desire to fill yourself with food, and you say, Lord, I'm going to set that aside. I'm going to afflict my soul. I'm going to afflict my body. I'm going to set aside my desire to eat. And I'm going to humble myself before you and spend that time in prayer, Spend that time in fasting. Spend that time in positioning myself before you so that you see that this is a very, very important situation. And I want, Lord, to present myself before you in a low, humble fashion so that you will hear my cry and hear my plea. So verse 4, Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. So now Jehoshaphat has help. He's their leader, and he has led them in this prayer and fasting. And so then in verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. Then in verse 6, this is very important because Jehoshaphat starts to speak back to God the attributes of God. He starts to speak and acknowledge the great and mighty God that is in control of the situation. And we need to do that too, beloved. We need to speak back to God and say, God, you're in control. You are a mighty God. You are the creator of the universe. You know all about this virus, every detail of it. You know every detail of how it got out into the population, who's responsible. But even more, you know how it can be defeated and what is the opportunities for us to defeat this virus. And so we need to speak the attributes of God back to him. Beloved, when you are praying, it's very good to pray scripture back to God. It's very good to exalt God. If you look at the Lord's Prayer, it says, Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You start hallowing God's name. You start exalting God's name. You start praising God for who he is. And that's what Jehoshaphat is doing here in verse 6. He says, O Lord God of our father, are you not God of heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? Well, those are just some of the many attributes of God. He is the God of heaven. He rules over all the kingdoms of the nations. And in his hand there is power and might. And no one is able to withstand him. No wicked person is able to withstand. No wicked virus, no wicked country is able to withstand him. We are all going to face the judgment of God. We're all going to stand before God, and he is going to pronounce judgment upon us at some point in time. So nobody, not a communist country, not a righteous country, not a righteous person or a wicked person, is going to escape the judgment of God. The eyes of God go to and fro across the earth, and he is looking for those who will honor him and respect him, those who will serve him. Nothing escapes the view and the eyes of God. Verse 7, Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? Well, that is a yes also. God is the same God who drove out the inhabitants of the land. He's the one that gave the promised land to Israel. Guess what? Israel still is occupying their promised land. They are in their homeland right now. And so God has provided for them. He's sheltered them, protected them. People and regimes and politicians and political schemes have come against Israel for thousands and thousands of years. And guess what? They're still in their promised land. Nothing is going to move them out. Nobody with nuclear arms or any other kind of nuclear missiles or any other kind of arms are going to move Israel out, because anybody that comes against them is going to come against God himself, and Jerusalem will be a stumbling stone for all the nations. And they dwell in it, Jehoshaphat says, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying. All right, verse 9 is a critical key verse here. If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine. He names four types of disaster here. Sword, that's enemies from without. Judgment, that is when God judges people that can lead to disaster. And a pestilence, that can include things like coronavirus, that can include things like we have here in Kenya, the locusts, which have now expanded into about 20 counties here in Kenya. And even if we didn't have the coronavirus to deal with, we still have in the background these locusts who are expanding every day. And so pestilence or famine, we actually have some famine here every single day. I get calls or I get texts from people. We don't have any food in our house. We just need something to eat, a little bit of something. My children are starving. This is something I deal with in Africa every single day. In addition to the fact that we have orphans in our orphanage now out of Makunda, and so every day I have to deal with people that don't have food and are suffering from famine. So Jehoshaphat says, "We will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save." Jehoshaphat is stating the blessing upon himself and his people. He is confident that God is going to come through for him. He doesn't know how, but he is confident that God is going to come through for him and his people. And he says, "You will hear and save. Decree a thing, and it shall be established. Lord, I believe that you are going to provide a relief from this virus. I believe now, even now, today, that it is broken and it is diminished. It no longer has a hold on people. You're going to see a rapid turnaround. You're going to see a rapid escalation of the stock market and people's businesses. I believe the stranglehold that this virus has on people all over the world has been broken and it is going to be diminished. God, you will hear and save. You will hear and relieve us and hear about our affliction, and you will relieve us and deliver us from this wretched virus." At verse 10, "And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir." These were the enemies that were gathered against Jerusalem and Judah. And they would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. "Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit, O God." Then in verse 12, "O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." Jehoshaphat is saying, "We are helpless without you, God. We are dependent upon you." And beloved, that's where God wants you to be, that you recognize that you need God, recognize that you are nothing without God, that everything you have was given to you by God, and that without him you have nothing and are nothing. Well, as God often does in verse 14, all through the Bible, God sends prophets. Even today, this very day, God sends prophets. There are prophets in the land. There's prophets in America. I'm sorry if you don't believe that, but it's true. God has not abandoned the prophets. In fact, he does nothing without letting his servants, the prophets, know beforehand. And so in verse 14, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah." Jehaziel says, "Listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's." So God is saying, you don't have to be anxious. You don't have to get in a big turmoil and a big sweat. God said, "I have this battle. I'm going to take care of your enemies. I've heard your cry. I've heard your plea." And beloved, God has heard the plea of the people in the United States of America. He has heard their plea. He's heard the plea of the people in Kenya that are crying out to him. And the battle is now God's. He is taking care of this enemy, coronavirus. And thankfully, also here in Kenya, he's going to take care of the enemy, the locusts. And so we have cried out to him, and he has heard our plea. Well, in verse 17, Jehaziel continues here. He says, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat, verse 18, bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And so the Lord speaks through the prophet. He tells Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah and Jerusalem, you don't need to fear. God is going out with you. You just position yourselves and stand still and show yourself humble, show yourself obedient, and you will see the Lord work in your behalf. Beloved, when we get in a place where we don't know what to do, we just need to praise God. We need to humble ourselves, stand still, be still, and know that I am God. Be still. Pray, ask the Lord, and then trust the Lord that he is going to fight the battle for you. Well, verse 20 and 21 are the capstones of this place, of this wall, the capstones. This is the capping scriptures. Verse 20, so they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Beloved, if you believe the prophets, if you believe those that have been set by God to speak a word, way back many years ago, God showed me there was going to be this kind of calamity in America. He told me to store up food. You can get my book, Prophecies for America, other things God has shown me. For many years now, God has been speaking to me about this kind of calamity. And so get that book, Prophecies for America. You can order it on Amazon or through my website, gatheroutheoutcast.com. But beloved, the Lord speaks through his prophets. And Jehoshaphat says, believe in the Lord your God and believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. Those that understand the times, those that understand the seasons that we're in the end days, beloved. Those that understand the times and the seasons are going to prosper, but those that are walking around with the face mask on their over their eyes and over their face, they're not going to see, they're not going to know. They're just going to be stumbling in the dark, and they will not understand this coronavirus. They're not going to understand next week's virus or next week's calamity. But if you have a prophetic vision of the Lord, if you have a prophetic vision of his kingdom and what he wants to do here on this earth, you will be prepared, you will prosper, and you will know that God is in control, that he has not abandoned the ship earth. All right, verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and those who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Well, there it is, beloved. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And when they began to sing and to praise, verse 22, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Well, that's one of the greatest stories, the most encouraging stories in all the scripture right there. And King Jehoshaphat, he knew his Lord, he knew his God, he knew who to turn to when chaos took over the land, he knew to turn to when the enemy surrounded him. And beloved, I hope you know who to turn to today, this very day, when enemies have surrounded you, enemies have surrounded the United States of America. I believe we have good direction from our government, people that are praying to give good direction. But beloved, if you get on your knees and pray and you just worship the Lord, your fear will go and you can start to function with the vision of God. You can start to function and you can stand still and let the Lord fight your battles for you if you just praise him and you give him all the glory and honor that he is due. And I hope you know your God this very day. Beloved, if you have not confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the revival starts for you today. The great awakening starts for you today. Confess Jesus. Say, Jesus, I want to humble myself before you. I want to confess my sins. And I want to receive the salvation that you have for me. I want you to send your Holy Spirit to me. If you will do that today, the Lord will be faithful to you, and he will come to you. He will give you his Holy Spirit to guide you, to direct you, to counsel you. Follow it up with Christian baptism. Go to the lake, have somebody put you down, immerse you in the waters of baptism. And beloved, you will be walking, and you will be a new creation in Christ Jesus. Your great awakening can start this very day. Well, thank you for listening today. Stay tuned for contact information coming up right at the end of this broadcast. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.